Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with my co-host, Kelly Rossman McKinney of the Rossman Group.
Yes.
And we were looking forward to talking to Bill Ballinger. Maybe we will in a minute.
Yeah, he's kind of hard to track down sometimes, that Billy Bob. And we were going to talk about the elections with him, but we don't need him. We don't need Bill Ballinger. What a night Tuesday night was.
Can you believe that?
Well, not only that, I think most folks expected that it would go very late into the night and it would be much closer. And instead, Andy Dillon's given a concession speech at 10 o'clock at night, and Rick Snyder's giving a victory speech well before midnight. I think it was still in the 11 o'clock news.
One month ago, we would have thought that it would be Andy Dillon and either Pete Hoekstra or Mike Cox.
Absolutely. It just, you know, and I know Bill's robo poll that he does with Mark Grebner did show the surge for Verge.
Right. Exactly.
And it showed that he had picked up, I assume, a vast majority of those undecideds, because in the Republican Party they had a huge group of undecideds, and I'm going by just vague memory, but it was in the 40% range. I mean, it was really, really high, and it was also apparently a lot of Dem crossover folks who just weren't thrilled with Andy or with Verge, and they crossed over and voted for Rick.
Well, we have on the line right now the editor of Inside Michigan Politics and frequent contributor to Off the Record, Bill Ballinger. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Jack. How you doing? Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Hey, how surprised were you that what we thought conventional wisdom would be 1 month ago is now in the dumpster?
Well, compared to a month ago, maybe a little surprised. Not compared to 2 weeks ago, because we predicted on the show, Jack, that Verge was going to win.
And that's the first time.
You got the scoop.
And I have to tell you, Bill, when I got those numbers, I said, okay, we got one against 80. And the number one was right. How about that?
That's right. On the Republican side, I think it was a little bit of a surprise that Snyder won, certainly by the margin that he won by, you know, 9%. I don't think anybody expected that. But I think at the end, people thought it would probably be Hoekstra or Snyder. The big story today is the Democrats didn't get their act together down in Detroit. Did you hear about that?
It wasn't the most unified unity breakfast.
Wait. No, I did not hear about it. Oh, do tell.
Well, Andy Dillon has not endorsed Bernero.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's the story, and it's coming out right now. And Dillon says he's going to go away on vacation and come back. And, you know, he didn't excoriate Bernero or, you know, tear him down or anything, but he, you know, specifically did not endorse him. And when the press followed him around the room asking him questions, he just refused to do it. So,
nor did Dave Bing, who said that he wants some answers.
Well, but he he didn't run against Bernero.
Right.
This is supposed to be a unity.
Wow. I just can't get over that. Although I got to tell you, the sort of I'm going to go on vacation and think about it is indicative of the cerebral approach that Andy Dillon takes toward politics.
Yeah,
and bless his heart. I love the man. You know, he's my guy. I love Andy Dillon. But okay, sometimes go with your gut. And maybe that's actually what he's doing, and he's not willing to say, my gut says I'm a Snyder guy now.
Hey, Bill, the funny part, that's true. The funny part today was listening to Mark Brewer and Jennifer Granholm say that, oh, yeah, everyone's on the same page after we just learned that they weren't.
Well, you know, another thing was I remember one of the debates between Dillon and Bernero. Somebody, one of the news panelists, asked that specific question. They asked each guy, will you endorse your opponent if you lose the primary?
Yeah.
And Dillon was absolutely unequivocal. And it was Bernero in the debate that was a little shaky.
We did the same thing on this show, and Verge was the one who said, well, I don't know.
Exactly. And so, of course, Verge doesn't have to worry about it now because he won. But all of a sudden, the one of the two candidates who said, absolutely, I'll endorse the nominee, he didn't do it.
Wow.
So,
well, and you know what's interesting? Andy's concession speech on Tuesday night, although it wasn't a specific endorsement, he talked about uniting the party and all moving forward together, et cetera. So he certainly implied.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, there he had two of his teenage sons standing with him, and I, you know, I was watching it on TV because I don't actually like to go anywhere anymore. But those poor kids just looked heartbroken, you know. And I thought, Andy did a, you know, I thought a great job. Verge, by the way, somebody needs to teach him how to read a teleprompter. If you're going to use a teleprompter for your victory speech, perhaps you should learn how to use it.
Well, he's used to speaking off the cuff, probably.
He's used to speaking off everybody's
cuff. Yeah, it's probably an insult to him to be asked to read off a teleprompter.
He was disappointed that the teleprompter only went for a half hour.
Well, that's exactly right. He apparently gave a very good speech, though, today at the Unity Breakfast.
What about the Republican unity now, and
well,
what we're seeing there?
Well, they were unified. I mean, in the sense they all showed up for their unity lunch, it was, in the Lansing Center on Wednesday. And they all said the right things, and they all said they endorsed Snyder. And, you know, I think the real interesting scenario would have been if Cox had won, would the others have endorsed Cox?
I thought it was interesting today that Right to Life said it is not endorsing.
Yeah, well, they didn't.
Snyder.
Who cares? They didn't have much of an impact on on this
right
election
to life
at all.
Ought to crawl and hide under a rock. I mean,
Right to Hide. No,
yeah,
I'm putting that. I'm writing
that
down.
They were severely embarrassed. Yeah. You know, in this race, they endorsed Cox. He didn't even finish second, let alone first, and state chamber ended up with egg on its face, too. So both those groups took a huge hit. That is the big story beyond the candidates themselves from this week.
What else did we learn from Tuesday night, Bill?
Well, I think, you know, and you've probably been talking about it, we got, you know, two unexpected nominees that nobody could have foreseen. I mean, you know, as you say, even a month ago, and let you know, 5 months ago, nobody could have foreseen this. And they are stark contrast to each other. My gosh, you couldn't get two different people, temperamentally and in terms of their backgrounds. I mean, you've got Bernero, the consummate career politician, makes no bones about it, is proud of it, and you've got Snyder, who basically ran an anti-politics, anti-politician campaign, almost like, you know, I'm exactly the kind of person who's the antidote to all the nightmarish experience you've had from all these politicians in Lansing for the last decade. You know, so you couldn't have a bigger contrast. And the fall campaign ought to be just absolutely fascinating.
I thought it was interesting, too, that we have Ollie Frazier, too, in the 7th Congressional District, and by a very large margin, Tim Wahlberg over Brian Rooney. So now we've got Wahlberg and Schauer going at it again.
Yeah, and, you know, it's probably going to get down to, once again, what happens at the top of the ticket. I mean, I don't think there's any question that Schauer, you know, got in 2 years ago because Obama swept a victory by a huge margin in the 7th District. Nobody could have anticipated that. Schauer didn't even get 50% of the vote in that race. And now the worm may have turned. I mean, if things are running as strongly against either the national Democratic-controlled Congress or the president or Jennifer Granholm or whatever, I'm not sure it is going to be that bad in November, but if it is, that's going to really weigh Schauer down, and Wahlberg is basically saying, okay, folks, you know, you swept me away in 2008. I was caught up in the, you know, the avalanche of support for Obama, and now you see what you've done. The terrible mistakes have been made. Now you have a chance to rectify things. So it's going to be kind of a referendum rerun on 2008, and will the fact that Schauer has been able to compile 2 years as an incumbent overcome, you know, the baggage that he's going to be carrying, I think, in this race. That's what it's going to boil down to.
Well, and you know, Bill, that's my congressional district. Is that yours as well?
Well, it technically isn't, because I'm on the other side of Waverly Road. I used to live in that district.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's what I think is interesting, and I don't disagree with your assessment that the Schauer coming in under a heavy Democratic vote. I think the one thing that Mark Schauer has done extremely effectively over the last 2 years, putting his voting aside for a minute, mm-hmm. is work grassroots yep. extremely effectively. Yep. He has been out yep. on the hustings all the time. And I haven't seen Wahlberg anywhere. Now, I grant you, he doesn't have an elected office, but if you want to get your seat back, maybe you ought to be doing a little something.
I didn't see him that much when he did have an elective office.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean by the power of incumbency. Yeah. I mean, if you're somebody like Schauer who really knows how to be an effective legislator, whether it's at the federal or state level, you get out and build up a grassroots, a constituent service type operation, and that's what he's got. So that's going to help him. But Kelly, you just said putting his voting record aside, and that's the problem. You know, it would be one thing if Schauer had been, a kind of a moderate Democrat in his voting in Washington, had been maybe not a blue dog, but had been more conservative than he was. But he pretty much went right down the line for Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, and Wahlberg is going to hang that around his neck, and maybe Schauer will be able to overcome it, but he's got his work cut out for him.
Bill Ballinger, editor of Inside Michigan Politics, our guest. Bill, I look forward to talking with you next week and throughout this general election campaign.
My pleasure.
All right. We will be right back with more. Jack Ebling here with Kelly Rossman McKinney of the Rossman Group, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.